B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Chof Hey. We're going to start two lines from the top of the Omid. Says the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah that we are not allowed to burn Truma Tameah on Yontav. Says the Gemara, B'yomtav hu da'asur, you're not allowed to burn Truma Tameah on Yontav. Ha b'choil shapir domi. But during the week, if it's not Yomtav, a regular weekday, you're allowed to burn the Truma Tameah and derive benefit whilst burning it from the heat, from the light, etc. Mai tama, says the Gemara, Omar Rav, kishem shemitzvah lisroif hakochim shenitzmu, in the same way as we find that there's a mitzvah to burn kochim that became tomei, kach mitzvah lisroif as hatruma shenitmeis, so too there's a mitzvah to burn truma that became tomei. And Rashi says that truma is called kodesh sometimes, and also in order to avoid a takola that chas v'shalom nobody should eat the truma when it's tomei. Va'omro teira b'shas bi'ura teheni mino. There are sources that one is allowed to derive benefit from the truma tameah whilst burning it. Heichon omro teira. Where did the teira say that you're allowed to have benefit from the truma while you're burning it? We're going to see a few sources in the Gemara. Midr of Nachman, the Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, Omer Kro, it says in the Pasuk, V'ani hinei nosati l'cho es mishmeres trumoisai. Hashem says, I have given you, l'cho, my trumois, in plural form. B'shtei trumois hakos of medaber. There are two different types of trumois that have both been given, l'cho, to you, for your benefit. Achas truma tohira. One is tohir truma that's been given to the Kohen to eat. Va'achas truma tameah. And the other one is truma tameah. Va'omer achmona l'cho. And the Torah says that even truma tameah has been given for your benefit. Shalcho tahei la'asiko tachas tavshilcho. It's for you that you can burn it and use it as firewood under your pots when you're cooking. V'yibo yiseima. Possibly a different source that one is allowed to derive benefit from truma tameah whilst it's being burnt. Midr bavo, domer bavo, omer Rabbi Yechonon. It says in the parasha of Maisa Sheini, lo bi'arti mimenu betomei. When I did not derive any benefit from burning Maisa Sheini that was tomei. Mimenu iatomavir. Dafka for Maisa Sheini. It says mimenu for Maisa Sheini. I am committing myself and I'm admitting and I understand that I'm not allowed to derive benefit when consuming it, when burning it. Aval atomavir shemen shel truma shenitmeis. But when burning oil of truma that became tomei, which is not maisa sheni, you are allowed to have hana whilst you're burning it. Asks the Gemara, v'eima mimenu iatomavir aval atomavir shemen shel kodesh shenitmo. All you see in the pasuk of maisa sheni is that mimenu, uniquely to maisa sheni, you're not allowed to benefit when burning it. And so how do you know that that's coming to tell us that when you're burning truma, you're allowed to have benefit? Maybe it means when you're burning hektish, you're allowed to have benefit. Says the Gemara, lav kal v'choymehu, it's a kal v'choymeh. Ma mas meiser, hakel, if meiser sheini, which is relatively kal, it's lenient in its halachas. Omra Torah lo yibiyartu mimenu betomei, and the Torah says that you did not have any hano, any benefit when burning it. Kodesh, chomur lekolshkein, kodesh, hektesh, which many of its halachas are very stringent, even more so you shouldn't be able to have hana from it. Says the Gemara, Ihocha truma nami leima kal v'chaymehu. Truma also, you can say the same kal v'chaymeh, because truma is also more chomor than maisa sheini. Hoksiv mimenu. Says the Gemara, yeah, you're right, but it says mimenu. There must be something which is allowed, because mimenu means only maisa sheini is osa. And if I'm going to say that also truma is osa, and also kodesh is osa, then what makes maisa sheini unique? Says the Gemara, Omaro Yisa. Why do you prefer to say that Kegdush is Osa and Truma is learnt out from Mimenu that it's Mutta Tavhano? Maybe say the other way around, that Truma is Osa and Hegdush is Mutta. Says the Gemara Mistabra. It's logical. It makes sense that Kodesh Leima Mutino, that Kodesh is not going to be excluded from the word Mimenu and to say that you're allowed to have Hano. No, Kodesh is Osa Bahano with a Kal V'Chaymeh. If something has to be mutar b'hano when burning it b'tomei, it's probable it's referring to truma. Why? Shekein simon pei nun kuf ein chof samach. These are six different halachas that are more chomor with hektish above everything else. What are these six halachas? Pigul. If somebody shechted a korban with the intentions of eating it at the wrong time, noisar, or a korban that's now past the time that one is allowed to eat it in. The halachas of pigul, if somebody eats a korban that was shechted without intentions, even if you eat it at the right time, but you shechted it al menos to eat it in the wrong time, if you eat it, it's chayev korus. Noisar also, if you eat it, it's chayev korus. Korban, hektish is called a korban, and there's me'ila, if you have hanah from it in a way that you're not supposed to, at a time you're not supposed to, then there's halachas of me'ila, which we'll learn about in Maseches Me'ila, Yirtzeh Hashem. V'korus, and somebody who eats hektish whilst the person is tomei, he's chayev korus. If somebody eats truma when he's tomei, he's also chayev misa. It's chayev misa v'dei shemaim, he's not chayev korus. Korus has two things. Number one, the person dies young, and secondly, his children die. He dies without children. But misa b'dei shemaim just means that the person will die young. It doesn't mean that his children will die. And the last halacha is osur la'inon, that we learn out, it's a kal v'chomer from Maisa, that one is not allowed to eat hekdesh when a person is an oinon, which means one of the person's seven close relatives have passed away but have not yet been buried, then he's called an oinon. But truma is mutter for an oinon. So you see that there are six halachas that are very stringent only with hektish. Therefore, we assume that also hektish, when burning it, you're not allowed to have hana, and we don't learn out from mimenu that one is allowed to have hana. Asks the Gemara, Adarabba, truma loima matina. I should say that truma, you're not allowed to have hana because truma has its own set of chumras. Shekein memches pei zayin, simon. These four letters are a simon to the four halachas where there's a chumra with truma that you don't find anywhere else. Number one, misa. If somebody who's not a kohen eats it, or if a kohen tomei eats it, then his chayv misa b'dei shemaim. Chomesh, if a person eats from truma b'shoigeg, he has to pay back an extra chomesh, an extra fifth. Ve'ein lo pidyon, there's no way that you can redeem the kedusha of truma. And hektish does have a way of redeeming it. And va'asurim lezorim, and truma is always osa for a zor, for somebody who's not a kohen to eat it, even if he's tohir. Hektish, if a zor eats hektish, there are many korbanos that a zor is allowed to eat. But truma is unique that only a kohen is allowed to eat it. So these are four halachas that apply uniquely to truma even more than hektish. So if so, why do you say that hektish, you're assuming that it's more chomor, and therefore you do not learn out from Aisa Sheini, from Mimenu, that one is allowed to derive benefit from it, and you say that you're not allowed to derive benefit from hektish when burning it, why don't you say that you're not allowed to derive benefit from truma? It has four chumras that even hektish doesn't have. Says the Gemara, Hanoch Nefishin, there are more chumras, the number of chumras by hektish outnumber the number of chumras by truma. Truma have four chumras, and hektish has six chumras, and therefore hektish is more chomor, and therefore when burning hektish, which is tomei, you're not allowed to have hana from it. When burning truma, which is tomei, you are allowed to have hana. V'boyz Eimer, says the Gemara, kodesh chomor shekein enush korus. The very fact that with hektish there's a chiyuv korus, and by truma there's only a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim, and misa b'dei shemaim does not cause a person to die childless, korus does, and therefore there's a chumra of hektish that overrides all the rest, and therefore with hektish one is not allowed to have any hanor from it when burning it, when tomei. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nachman b'Yitzchok Omar Kro. This is now a third source that truma, one is allowed to have hanor from truma if you burn it when it's tomei. Because it says in the Pasuk, Titein loy, there's a chiyuv that when you give truma to a kohen, then the pasuk says, "Reishis degoncho tiroishcho v'itzorecho, v'reishis geiz tzoyncho titein loy." You have to give it to him, and we learn from there, loy, it should be for him, v'loy la'oiroy, and not that he can just burn it and use it for firewood or for light, he has to be able to eat it. From here you learn that you're not allowed to give truma tameya to a kohen as truma in order to pater my truma tahira. You have to give him truma tahira. The fact that the halacha says that you have to give it to him in order that he should be able to eat it and not just derive benefit from burning it, you see from there, michlal debas oirahi. You see that there are cases where truma gets burnt and you're not allowed to eat it, but you are allowed to have benefit from it, from burning it. So from here you see that in the event that you have truma tamea and you're burning it, you're allowed to have hana. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, we're going now back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we saw, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer ein madlikin b'itron b'pnei kvoid ha-Shabbos. You're not allowed to use as an oil, the clear oil from pitch, because of covered Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Maitama, what's wrong with this itron? Omer Rava, mitoich sherei chayra, since it has a bad smell, gzeir shemo yanicheno v'yetzei. We're not worried, or we're not talking here about the fact that you might extinguish it or move it. It just might be unpleasant. You're going to leave the room with the lights in and go and eat in a dark room. Omale Abaye v'yetze. Abaye says, and so what? You'll light the candles with this, and if the light bothers you, if the smell bothers you, you'll go to another room. Omale shani oimer adlokas neir Shabbos, neir b'Shabbos choiva. Since there's a choiva, there's a chiyuv for covered Shabbos to have the candles of Shabbos, because eating a meal in a dark room is not very pleasant. Rashi says she'ein su'uda chashuva ela b'mokim oir. It's not called a respectable meal if it's in the dark, and therefore you need to have the light in order to be able to eat there for covered Shabbos. So you're not allowed to use a type of candle that will make you run away from the room. The Omer of Nachman bar Zavda, the Omer lo Omer of Nachman bar Rava, Omer Rav, had lokas near b'Shabbos choiva. Rav says that there's a chiyuv to have ad lokas near it. It's a chiyuv of covered Shabbos. Rachitzas yudaim v'raglayim b'chamin arvis. In contrast to near Shabbos, regarding washing one's hands, one's feet with hot water on erev Shabbos, rashus. That's not a chiyuv. It's a rashus. V'ani oimer. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman says, mitzvah. Even washing one's hands and feet, it's not a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah. So Ner Shabbos is called a choyva, Rechitzas Yudayim V'Raglayim is either called a mitzvah or it's called Roshos. Continues the Gemara, my mitzvah, tell us about the nature of this mitzvah. Domer of Yehuda Marav, Kechoyom in Hogesh Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi. This is what Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi used to do. Erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, Mevi'in Loi Areva, they would bring him a tub, Meleo Chamin, full of hot water, V'roichet, Ponov, Yodov, V'raglov, he would wash his face and his hands and his feet, U'misatev, and he would cover himself with V'yeshev, B'sadinin, Hamatsuyorim, he would sit there covered with a linen cloak with tzitzis on. V'doyme le'malach Hashem Tzvokis, he was compared to a malach, to an angel. V'hoyu talmidov mechabin mimenu kanfei ksuson. His talmidim would hide the corners of their four-cornered clothes, garments, from their Rebbe, in order that he shouldn't see them. Why? Because the Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi, he was wearing tzitzis, sadinim mitzuyotzin. He had a linen cloak with proper tzitzis. Tzitzis means the white strings, and the tcheles, the blue strings. The blue strings were wool, even though the beged was linen, and wool and linen is kilayim. We know that for tzitzis, you're allowed to have kilayim. The Talmidim, they did not have the tcheles on the corner of these garments they were wearing, and therefore they hid the corner of these garments from their Rebbe. Omar Lohen, the Rebbe said to the Talmidim, Bonai. This was a typical way that the tzaddikim used to give rebuke. They would first start with an encouraging word, my sons. Loi kach shanisi lechem, did I not teach you, sadin b'tzitzis, that these linen cloaks, regarding putting tzitzis of tcheles on, which is woolen linen, b'shamai poitrin, b'shamai say that these linen clothes are potter from tzitzis, u'b'shililoim mechayvim, Bis Hillel say they are chayev. Because Bis Hillel, they are the ones that have this posuk. They learn from a posuk that there's no issa of kilayim but tzitzis. V'alocha k'divrei Bis Hillel. The alocha is like Bis Hillel, that you're allowed to put kilayim on tzitzis. You're allowed to put the strings of tcheles, even though the garment is linen. V'inu, what did the Talmidim think? Sovri, they held gezeira mishum ksus laila. They did not want to put on these garments tcheles, because it's true that a garment that's typically worn during the day is mechuyev in tzitzis. If it's mechuyev in tzitzis, you're allowed to have even kilayim, even woolen strings on a linen garment. But they were afraid that if they're going to put these strings on these garments, they would also put woolen strings on linen garments that are unique and dedicated, they're only used in the night, and a ksus laila is potter from tzitzis. If it's potter from tzitzis, you're not allowed to put kilayim on. If you put strings of wool on a linen garment that's potter from tzitzis, it's also for kilayim. And that's why they avoided putting tcheles on these garments. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the pasuk, Vatiznach misholoim nafshi. My nefesh, my spirit, despaired from the lack of sholoim. Noshisi toiva, and I have forgotten goodness. Says the Gemara, what does this mean? This was Yirmiyah talking in Eicha that consequent to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, these two things happened. Sholim got left and toiva got left. Says the Gemara, Mai vatiznach mi sholim nafshi, or omer bavo, zu hadlokas neir b'shabbos. That they were not able to light candles for Shabbos, and that's the sholim that our spirits were lacking. Noshisi toiva, what's the toiv that got forgotten consequent to the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Omer Birmiya zeh Beis HaMerchatz, the ability to wash in a bathhouse. Omer Biechanon zurechitzas yudayim v'raglayim bechamin, the ability to wash one's hands and feet with hot water. Yitzchok Nafcha Omer, zu mito no v'keilim noim she'oleo, this is talking about a nice bed and some nice linen and kelim noim on it. Rabbi Abba Omar, zu mita mutzas, a neat bed, v'isha mekushetes, and an adorned woman, a wife, l'talmidei chachomim, for talmidei chachomim. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, eize osher, who is considered a rich person? Somebody who wants to have the advantages of feeling or being rich, what does that mean? Kol sheyesh lo nachas ruach ba'oshroi, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says anyone that's satisfied with their level of goods and of riches that he has. Rashi says someach bechelkoi im ma'at im rov, irrespective of whether you have a lot of riches or little riches, as long as you're happy, you're called a rich man. And we know ezehu oshir has someach bechelkoi. Simon Mem Tes Kuf Samach. These are the four letters, the four names of Chachomim who told us what it means to be rich. The first one is Mem, is Reb Meir that we just saw now. The Tes is Rabbi Tarfon Oimer. Kol Sheyeshloi Mea Kromim. Somebody who has 100 vineyards, or Mea Sodois and 100 fields, or Mea Avodim Sheyivdin Bohen, and 100 servants working in them, he's a rich man. Rabbi Akiva Oimer. Kol sheyesh lo isha no'o b'maisim. Anybody who has a wife that is nice in her deeds, in a maisim tovim, that's called being rich. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, kol sheyesh lo beis hakisei samuch lo shulchonei, somebody who has a bathroom where he can relieve himself close to where he eats, so he shouldn't have to go far away before or during a meal, is that's called a rich person. Continues the Gemara Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozo Oimer, ein madlikin b'tzori. You're not allowed to use tzori for your Shabbos candles. My tama, Omar Rava, mitoich shareichoi noidav. It's got a very, very nice smell. And since this smell very much spreads out, it's very strong, gezeir Hashem o yistapik mimenu, you might consume some of it. You might take some of the oil out of the lamp. And we know the halacha is, Rashi brings some of this after, the hanoisin shemen l'neir, if you add in oil into a lamp on Shabbos, you're chayev mishum mavir, it's as if you're burning on Shabbos. V'mistapik, if you take out some oil from a lamp, chayev mishum mechabe, then it's the malacha of extinguishing, similar to extinguishing a light. Omale Abaya said to Rabbah, Lema mar mipnesha hu off. Why do you say that the reason you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos is because you might take some drops of this oil out and use it? Why don't you say it's because it's off? That means that its flame sometimes shoots up. And if it shoots up, it's going to hit the walls, the wooden walls of the home, and it could end up burning the home. Says the Gemara, Chodav oid ka'omar. You're right, there's two reasons. Chod, the first reason, mipneshu off, because it's a flame that could jump up and cause a fire. V'oid, and another reason, gazera, shamu yistapik rimenu. You might take away some of it and consume it on Shabbos, and that's the issa of mechabe. Says the Gemara, hu chamosa, that was this mother-in-law. Dehava sania lo lekalosa, she hated her daughter-in-law. Omra lo, so this mother-in-law slyly told her daughter-in-law, zil ikshit b'mishcha da'afar simon. Go and anoint yourself with the oils of Afar Samoina. Ozla, she went, ikshit, and she put on some of this oil. Kiasa, so when the daughter-in-law came back to the mother-in-law, Omra Le, the mother-in-law said to the daughter-in-law, Zil itli shraga. Go and hang up the lantern, light the lantern, light the candle. Ozla, the daughter-in-law went, atlo shraga, and she lit the candle, the lantern, in pach bon nura, and a little bit of the fire, the flame, was blown onto her, v'achlasa, and consumed the daughter-in-law. So you see from here, there's a concept of a candle which the flame jumps, it's off, it shoots up, and it can be very, very dangerous. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.